Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Okay, I think the exhaustion is finally kicking in because I've been running on little Hostess donuts, about eight Diet Cokes, and adrenaline here the whole day after, you know, probably going to sleep at around 2:30. And then when I woke up at 7, I think it was around 7, I heard my daughter get up because she had Stanton Singers today. My brain instantly was like, I got to watch CNN. I got to watch Fox. I got to watch MSNBC. I want to know what they're saying. Now, former Senator John Lamping spent many quality hours with me. We did election coverage last night. He's back with us this afternoon to kind of give some final thoughts and wrap it up. John, how are you? Did you get any sleep?
Yeah, I got a fair amount of sleep, and then I decided to work from home. I was amazed last night, Mark. I can't believe your ability to talk and to say things that are very much worth listening to. I was just so impressed. You know, you did a 3-hour show, then 5 hours more. It was really a crazy night.
Well, I have no other skills, and I barely have these skills, but here was an amazing moment. As you know, we're on the air, and Fred is lining up. You got to give credit to Fred because he's getting all these guests on for us and managing the show, and he gets Will Scharf on the phone from Florida. This is 9:10 last evening. Nobody at 9:10 Central Time last night was calling this race for Trump the way that Will Scharf did.
Things are electric here. We feel incredible. I just heard you say that you're not ready to call all these states. I am going to call this race for President Donald J. Trump with 95% certainty. Based on what I've seen, I believe President Trump is going to break the blue wall. I think he's going to win all of the blue wall states. I think North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, all looking fine. With 95% certainty, I am calling the race for President Donald J. Trump.
Now, we were looking at each other. You were shaking your head because I think you agreed with him fully based on the data that we were seeing. I was a little cautious just because, man, it just sounded so optimistic. And I thought, oh, I don't want to crush, you know, the hopes here of the audience or myself. But, man, he nailed it, didn't he, John?
Well, he did. But, you know, campaigns know when a race is going one way hard, and that's what happened last night. It was a landslide for sure. The campaigns know it. I mean, you see it the way Will did. You see it principally in the margin of victory in key precincts, in this case, around the country. And so when he cited the information that he had, then I knew that it was a done deal. You know, the Harris campaign has the exact same information. So they knew when Will knew that it was going to be a long night. And, you know, that's the thing that's frustrating. I think, and I enjoyed myself last night. I think the format was really good. I hope your listeners enjoyed it the same. And that's what's frustrating about when you sit down and you watch the network news, because they pretend like it's still very much up in the air, and it is to the public. But inside these campaigns, they know what's going on, and they know if it's going to be razor thin like 2020. But they also know when it's going to be hard one way, like last night.
You were making some points late in the evening, and I want you to kind of re-examine this, because first of all, it was embarrassing that Kamala Harris would not concede. But it was important that Trump went on, even if it was 2 a.m, wasn't it?
Well, after what happened in 2020, I think one of your guests, Nick Schorr, referenced this, that, you know, we went to bed kind of late on 2020 feeling pretty darn good. And in the middle of the night, ballots were dropped and we all know what happened after that. And one of the, in the aftermath of that, one of the mistakes that Trump probably made was not to declare victory in these places. I mean, when we went to bed in 2020, I think he was leading Pennsylvania by 1.5 million votes before what happened.
I want to talk a little bit about Elon and RFK Jr. Here's Trump last night talking about Bobby Kennedy.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he came in. And he's going to help make America healthy again.
You know, I think there's a lot of hope with this coalition, John, and this is different. And you're a good person to kind of paint the coalition as not necessarily conservative. I don't know if we are all in on populism, but look, there are opportunities here to get things done and to help the American people, and I hope they take advantage of that, especially with the resources of Elon and RFK Jr. and all these other folks that hopped on board.
Yeah, you know, RFK Jr., when he announced his candidacy, you remember this, about a year and a half ago, and I was so excited for his candidacy.
You were.
I knew what he had the ability to do. I know Jane looked at me like, oh, he's crazy. He's a vaccine denier. And I'm like, no, this guy has a skill set. He's got knowledge, understanding, and the ability to communicate on things that are very important to suburban moms, interestingly enough. And so I'm excited about him being a part of it. You know, I was looking, Mark, this is such a brilliantly run campaign. You know, somebody decided to have Trump do the first debates. That was a key decision because Kamala was such a flawed candidate. You know, and then on July 13th in Butler County, when Trump almost lost his life, that was in that afternoon, 3 or 4 hours later, is when he first reached out to Bobby Kennedy to see if he would come into the coalition. And 2 days later, he named J.D. Vance. Trump has got great political instincts, but I think he had to have like world-class political advisors around him. And you think that's where it all began. The coalition began with RFK, that got you Nicole Shanahan, then you got J.D. Vance and Elon, and then all the way up to Joe Rogan a few days ago, and it just was a brilliantly run campaign.
So you know who else was right there with you? Sue Thomas. And I remember, this is true, Sue, he came real early because John is a lot of times he's ahead of this stuff, and he said, RFK Jr., and I probably said, come on, Lamping, right? Because I was always questioning you. But this was my, Sue, I don't know if you saw this one. I think I retweeted this. I don't even know who this person is. It's at Whole Mars Blog. My favorite tweet of the day, although there's a lot of them, so sure. Maybe this isn't my top five. Elon is such a dumbass. He spent $44 billion on Twitter, and all he got was control of all three branches of the federal government. That is just amazing. That's one of the things I love about social media is that people get creative along those lines. But realistically, John, and I don't know, you know, what this cabinet is going to shape out to be, but what I said earlier, and I'm going to, you know, hope that I really believe this, because I was not happy in the last administration for Trump when it was, oh, we were going to hire the best and brightest, right? Trump's not the expert. We're going to hire the best and brightest. I don't think that they hit it out of the park on the best and brightest. But I have a lot of hope that the best and brightest are going to be in this cabinet right now.
As you should. So let's talk plainly about Project 2025, because I know what it is. I've seen the document, and I know that's the policy side of the document's the policy side. It's a really great document. There's a lot of great things in there. Here's the other thing that Heritage has been doing for the last 2 or 3 years is they've been vetting the people that will come into the administration. There's about 7,000 people that need to come into D.C. to join the administration. That these are the worker bees. These are young, primarily young men and women, very highly qualified, that are ready to come in and implement these policies. We all know who the stars and the cabinet leaders and the thought leaders will be. But that the last time around, this didn't happen. It took years for Trump to fill these worker bee positions, and these people are ready to go. You've already seen, we're getting hints at who's coming into the administration, who will be the Department of Agriculture just today. Everybody's ready to go. This is not. There's not going to be a pause. You know, I heard your Keogh interview earlier, and you know, Mike's the same kind of way. Mike's been planning this for a long time. He's ready to go this morning. I think this administration is going to really impress people how quickly they get up and running. And then, you know, they've got this two-year window where really everything that has to go through the legislature has to get done. Then I think there'll be very little wasted time. And, you know, I'm going to enjoy the next 6 or 9 months or a year when good things happen, the economy gets better and good policy decisions get made, and Trump and his crew don't end up being a bunch of Nazis. I don't know what's going to happen on the left when that doesn't happen. All the evil things that they were told are going to happen don't happen. I don't know what they're going to be clinging to then.
Well, that's a good question. Look, the blame game is incredible right now. I'm going to get to some of that even with the Harris team. They're throwing walls under the bus as expected, and they probably should because he was terrible. But MSNBC.
Democrats need to be mature and they need to be honest. And they need to say, yes, there's misogyny. But it's not just misogyny from white men. Mm-hmm. It's misogyny from Hispanic men.
Right.
It's misogyny from black men. Things we've all been talking about, who do not want a woman leading them. Might be race issues with Hispanics. They don't want a black woman as president of the United
States. It's xenophobia. It's the Hispanic racist is what this is all about. It's the white women that didn't vote. They cannot accept anything about this, and they refuse to take a look in the mirror.
I agree with you. Did you notice that all these years, Joe Scarborough, he's with the Democrats. It's us. Today, it's the Democrats.
Oh, I know.
Reverting back to the Republican nature. It's like, look, we talked also last night about one of the first things that's going to happen by executive order is the pharmaceutical companies are not going to be able to advertise anymore. There was actually a meeting today. The five CEOs from the largest pharmaceutical companies had an emergency meeting between themselves in the middle of the trading day because they know what's coming. And when that happens, places like MSNBC are going to lose at least half of their funding. And it's not like there's an advertiser waiting to take their spot. I'm of the opinion that pharmaceutical companies probably overpay for their advertising as a way to silence the media onto what it is they're all about. Look, it's going to be fun watching RFK. He is ready to go in that space. And he is going to make America healthy again. And, as I'm sure you saw this, Trump, he won suburban moms. He won them by 5 points. And I guarantee you, all those peanut allergies and kids on the autistic spectrum and the 86 vaccinations, all those things are reasons that RFK is going to make a difference. And those moms knew that story. And I think it made a big difference last night.
So maybe address the future just a little bit, because beyond what Trump is going to hopefully accomplish, man, you look at J.D. Vance and, Trump was weaving last night. J.D. didn't get a lot to say on stage. I'm looking forward to hearing him probably on the Sunday shows this weekend. But, a lot of us didn't know much about J.D. Vance outside of Hillbilly Elegy and some of the things that he had said maybe about Trump in the past. But did that guy step up on the national stage? Mm-hmm.
He played with the media. He's perfect. Vivek, his law school friend, is just as good as he is. Tulsi Gabbard's phenomenal. Tom Cotton kind of represents the old school, like neoconservative.
I like Tom Cotton. Yeah.
Tom Cotton's there, too. I mean, it couldn't be brighter. If you remember when we were waiting for Trump to pick his VP, my only ask was he had to be of the next generation. J.D.'s 42. All those guys are in their 40s. The future is very bright. It'll be interesting to see. I think we're going to have tremendous success in Trump's term on the policy side for sure. But it's so unusual that an entirely new administration will come into office. They'll look to accomplish things, even things that might be difficult, because the president doesn't have to worry about running for reelection. And that's so unusual. And then we're going to have all these young people look at each other like, well, who's going to do this now? And, I don't think we're going to have a crazy contentious primary season. I think we'll have a relatively short one, but I think what comes out of it in 2028 will just be
dude,
fun
did you
to
just
watch.
Take us to 2028 already? We haven't even wrapped up all the counting on this one. I'm kidding. Of course, I asked the question. No, I get
well,
it,
Mark,
and you're right.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is. Like, we can talk about policy, but, that's fun for, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Campaigns are what you really can talk about.
Thank you for everything last night. I love you. It was awesome. We really knocked it out of the park again. I'm going to pat ourselves on the back, but mainly because of the cast of characters and what Fred did. But I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, John Lamping.
Yeah, see you in the roundtable.
All right, take care. Yeah. So, I love this Constantine Kissin guy. So I've played some of his audio before. He gave this speech at the Oxford Union a couple years ago on some of the culture issues. He's a Russian guy who I think lives in England right now, and he's really good on a lot of the culture issues. And he caught my attention with a tweet from early this morning. And this kind of piggybacks on a message that I sent to the BBC early this morning, because you remember the BBC came into town. They interviewed Jane and I on a variety of issues related to Missouri. They focused on Amendment 3. And I've related this story a couple of times because it was interesting. They challenged me in particular on why do people in Missouri, you're not a border state, why do you care about immigration? Like, well, because 12 million people who shouldn't be in this country, shouldn't be here. So that's why. But I sent the producer from the BBC a message and said, our republic will survive. Don't believe what you're hearing on the legacy media in the U.S. because they're lying to you and they will continue to lie to you. And, I wanted him, because I was watching a little of the BBC. What's the reaction from our friends across the pond? They don't understand what's going on here. They hear the Nazi talk. How did Americans just elect a Nazi? So here's Constantine Kissin. This was great. For my British and European friends who are shocked and surprised, here are 10 reasons you didn't see this coming. By the way, this is not only for our British and European friends, it is for our friends on the left who are listening this afternoon. or to your friends who are on the left, and you can share this with them. The first one is my favorite. Americans love their country, and they want it to be the best in the world. America is a nation of people who conquered a continent. They love strength. They love winning. Any leader who appeals to that has an automatic advantage. And if we're being honest, and I think Democrats will be honest about this moving forward, she was a terrible candidate. Yeah. Terrible candidate. Number two, unlike Europeans, Americans have not accepted managed decline. They don't have net zero here. They believe in producing their own energy and making it as cheap as possible because they know that their prosperity depends on it. Number three, prices for most basic goods in the U.S. have increased rapidly and are sky high. Yeah, we know that, right? What the official statistics say about inflation and the reality of people's lives are not the same, especially at the grocery store, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Number four, unlike you, Americans do not believe in socialism. Well, 40% do. They believe in meritocracy. They don't care about the super rich being super rich because they know that they live in a country where being super rich is available to anyone with the talent and drive to make it. Thank you. That's American exceptionalism. They don't resent success. We celebrate it. Number five, Americans are the most pro-immigration people in the world. Read that again. Seriously, read it again. Americans love an immigrant success story.
Yeah.
We do. Look who's our state treasurer here.
Yeah.
Vivek Malik, right? They want more talented immigrants to come to America, but they refuse to accept people coming illegally. They believe in having a border. Why is that so radical?
It shouldn't be.
It is. That's the most infuriating thing. And by the way, let's face it. The American people are not dumb. They saw 12 million people flooding across the border in 3.5 years to even say that you wanted to do something about it. Oh, let's think about this one. Who could have thought that that was going to be something that the American people wouldn't be fond of? Who could have thought that, you know, decriminalizing shoplifting and violent crime is something that the American people wouldn't go for? Who could have ever seen that coming? Number six, Americans are sensitive about racial issues in their country's imperfect history. They believe that those who are disadvantaged by the circumstances of their birth should be given the opportunity to succeed. What they reject, however, Kissin said, is the idea that in order to address the errors of the past, new errors must be made.
Right.
DEI is racist. They know it, and they reject it precisely because they are not racist. Number seven, Americans are the most philo-Semitic nation on earth. Ooh, that's a word I wasn't familiar with. October 7th and the pro-Hamas left's reaction shocked them to their very core because, amongst other things, they remember what 9/11 was like and they know jihad when they see it. Number eight, Americans are extremely practical people. They care about what works, not what sounds good. In Europe, we produce great writers and intellectuals. In America, they produce and attract great engineers, businessmen, investors. Because of this, they care less about Trump's rhetoric than you do and more about his policies than you do. Number nine, Americans are deeply optimistic people. Well, not me, but most people are deeply
optimistic. They're talking about
me. Yeah, that's it. They hate negativity. Again, not me. The woke view of American history as a series of evils for which they must eternally apologize is utterly abhorrent to them. It is utterly abhorrent to me and to all of you listening.
Yes.
Of course it is. They believe in moving forward together, not endlessly obsessing about the past. Thank you, Constantine Kissin. And number 10, America is a country whose founding story is one of resistance to government overreach. We loathe unnecessary restrictions, regulation and control, forced masking, keeping people from going to the beach during COVID.
Right.
They understand that freedom comes with the price of self-reliance, and they pay it gladly. We do that. Constantine Kissin, who's not an American, understands this country a lot better than many of our friends on the left. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com, coming up next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we are getting close to wrapping up the post-election day show, and I am ready for a nap and just some time on the couch tonight. One of my favorite new radio friends, and maybe friend in real life, is Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com. I've read his stuff for years, and he's started contributing, and he knocked it out of the park late as we wrapped up our coverage last night, and he's going on less sleep than I am. Dwayne, how are you this afternoon?
I am running on pure adrenaline still. I'm doing great, Mark. Great to have you here. So my last 36 hours-ish, I got up from the day before show. Remember, I work overnights on the West Coast by the time Hughes show is on morning drive on the East Coast. And so I went to bed, got up at about 10 o'clock in the morning yesterday because my phone was going off like crazy. And, you know, the election was coming in. And I was just as curious as everybody, so I was wired and wide awake. So from 10 o'clock yesterday morning, I didn't get to bed again until about noon today, my time on the West Coast, and I've had about a 2.5 hour nap, and here I am. And then after that, I might get another 2 hour nap, and then hopefully by the time
it's all worth it, right?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, it was funny that you say all that because I got to sleep. I think 2:30. Woke up at 7. I heard my daughter. I had fallen asleep downstairs, and then once I started thinking about what happened, I'm like, I got to turn on the MSNBC and CNNs in particular because I wanted to see what their reaction was. But I sat. This probably wasn't healthy, Dwayne. I sat in my kitchen, really standing in my kitchen in my living room this morning for 3 hours, just basically looking at Twitter, looking at numbers, tweeting out, being snarky, all of these things, and having a lot of hope for the future. And one of the things I addressed earlier on the show, and I can't remember if I said this to you last night, but for me, this is really serious. And maybe this is just a small part of what's happening right now. But I've talked in the past about, the Sesquicentennial Centennial in 2026. We're going to celebrate the 250th birthday of this great country. I was alive for the, I think you were too, for the bicentennial in 1976. It was an amazing celebration of America. I was very concerned about having a Kamala Harris or a Joe Biden or someone like that running that celebration in a couple of years. So maybe this is a small aspect of this presidential election, but that's pretty important for me as someone who loves this country.
Oh, it's not something to be overlooked. That conversation is actually already being had online as well. That people said, people were talking about this online. Even Hugh responded to it and said that, the sesquicentennial thing is going to be glorious now because you at least know that the organization to it and the promotion of it is going to be something very wholesome and patriotic. We're not going to get some, cross-dressing something, in charge of this and running the entire operation through a DEI office.
You know, I want you to talk about, because you brought his name up last night, and his name has been mentioned a lot more since then, Scott Pressler. Explain to my audience who Scott Pressler is and how he was an absolute rock star hero in all of this.
Scott Pressler is a young man who is an Eagle Scout. So, I mean, he's a very clean-cut kid, long, flowing black hair, and he decided to just take it upon himself to start this grassroots organization to mobilize a GOP vote. He knew years ago that Pennsylvania was going to be the bellwether state. It was going to be ground zero when it came to this election cycle. The last couple, Pennsylvania has been one of the points of contention. And so he moved to Pennsylvania and started in the collar counties and in the rural communities north and a little bit west of Philadelphia, and just decided, I'm going to go around this state single-handedly and do what I can to generate enthusiasm and support and register people to vote. He went and talked to the Amish community.
Yes.
He talked to Democrats. He talked to labor. He literally was a one-man turnout machine. And the amount of I don't know if we actually have an actual total, but the number of people that he personally evangelized into the Republican Party and got them turned out to vote is in the tens of thousands, 50,000, 100,000. It was a ton of people that this guy did, and it's nothing short of heroic. This guy just, what can one patriot do when they decide they want to make a difference, and just basically took a year off from life to go spend time in a swing state and just roll up your sleeves and knock on doors and have the conversation and talk to people. That's what Scott Pressler did, and his contributions are almost beyond measure.
They really are, and that's why I wanted to highlight that. And there's a guy that most people had no idea who he was, and he's a big part of all this. Let's get your opinion on our friends in the legacy media on the other side. Dwayne?
I've got to say, this is the biggest red wave I've seen since Ronald Reagan's 49 state victory in 1984.
The inevitability of this actually looks as if it was there.
This was a sweeping victory, and he comes back to Washington, Michael, more powerful than when he was here before.
Scarborough is my favorite because he acted this morning as if he was a completely different person, which he does on a regular basis, but they're so embarrassing, and I still don't think they get how this was a rejection of the Fourth Estate as well.
Well, and you see, they can't bring themselves to do that because, you know, they have to hold on to their phony baloney gigs. The Scarborough thing was just grand between he and Mika Brzezinski. I mean, I remember late last week, Mika Brzezinski was nearly in tears, screaming into the camera, angry that women are dying. Women are physically dying right now, and they will continue to die if Donald Trump wins because of the abortion issue. I mean, it was just so hyperbolic off the charts. And now all of a sudden today, Joe is trying to act like he's been this neutral observer all the time. But the guests that he brings in, he brought in Alex Thompson of Axios. And Alex Thompson starts doing this screed, and everybody pig-piled on about how angry they are at Joe Biden for taking this long to realize that he wasn't up to the job. And why it was Joe Biden's fault that hamstrung Kamala Harris because they didn't give her enough time to introduce herself to the American people. It was too big of an adjustment too late in the season, and he should have known better. And I'm looking around at the ghost people that you would look around to trying to is he out of his mind? Who does he think he's kidding? Kamala Harris was the key enabler in Joe Biden not being up to this job for the last 4 years. She was the one that was lying to you and gaslighting every single
day. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's still...
They're off the hook, and they're trying to lay it off on Biden.
Yeah, I still have no hope that any of this will actually be examined by anyone in the legacy media, for sure. What about the congressional makeup? Look, a couple of things were shocking. The popular vote total, I think it's good because that's going to make things potentially less divisive and reduce riots and things like that. We're not seeing any violence. That's very positive. But I don't think a lot of us thought going into the day, maybe you did, Dwayne Patterson, Team Positivity, that we'd have all three branches of the federal government. But that's I think the House is still relatively close, but the Senate looks great right now.
The Senate looks really good right now. We're sitting on 52. They haven't called Pennsylvania yet for God knows why. I don't know why.
You mean on McCormick, right? They called it for Trump, but they haven't called it on McCormick, you mean?
Right.
Yeah,
Dave McCormick is going to win that race. He's up by, 35, 40,000 votes, something like that. And there's still only just a handful of votes left to count. And Bob Casey would have to sweep the remaining to make up the deficit. So he's going to win. He's going to be 53. And you look at Sam Brown in Nevada, and he keeps hanging on.
Yeah, he's hanging on right now. Yeah. Carrie Lake looks like she's not going to win, though, right?
Well, here's the thing we don't know. The part about Nevada is there's still roughly a third of the votes out there to cast. Most of Pima is in, from what we can tell. That's Tucson, Democratic stronghold. Most of Maricopa is in that we can tell. And there may be some little pockets, but most of Maricopa is in. That's Phoenix. So that's the two Democratic pockets. There's still a ton of vote out there. And right now, it's like an R plus 3.5, 4 with a third of the vote left to go. And we think the final tally is going to be to the right of that once more of the rurals come in. And that should be more Carrie Lake votes. I don't know if she's got enough to make up the 12, 13, 14,000 vote spread she needs to make up. But it could get close before it's done, but I kind of agree with your assessment. I think that's kind of wishful thinking. But hey, if we get 53-54 out of the night when we were thinking we were going to get two at best, hey, I'll take that night.
Yeah, I thought Hovde was going to be dragged across the line in Wisconsin, but it doesn't look good there. And Mike Rogers, I guess, lost in Michigan as well. What would you say, Dwayne, about this today? Letitia James, AG, New York.
So despite what has happened on the national stage, we will continue to stand tall in the face of injustice, revenge, or retribution.
There's so much irony in that, isn't there? They don't even hear what they're saying, do they?
Yeah, what do you want to bet when Donald Trump takes office? She kind of quietly blends back into the background again. Jack Smith is there wasn't a 180, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. There's so many dynamics of all this, and I still have not, because we're sleep deprived, begun to wrap my head around all of it. I'll ask this one final question: who you got for the cabinet right now? Any names?
I don't have any hard, believe it or not, I don't have any hard.
No, that's it. It's kind of early. I just thought I'd ask, though.
But what I can tell you is the transition team is already in place, and actually they were already working as of yesterday. Donald Trump, the one thing you got to say about him is he is acting thus far like he is not going to waste one day of this new term, and he can't. He's got a 2-year window. He and the Republicans that come in, especially in the Senate, they have to show a bunch of positive movement that this country is going to be happy with. They've got to show more of a positive right track, wrong track number, because if they don't in 2 years, the Senate's going to go right back upside down again. And he's going to be hamstrung.
Look, that's my hope.
They've got to move.
I really think it. I think they're going to move. And I think and we've talked about this many times in the last couple of weeks, including today, Elon and the whole team.
I can't wait for Elon in there. That's just going to be spectacular.
It was great because I'm sure you were up watching the speech, but Trump talked about it. There are opportunities to really get things done for the American people. Go figure. How about that? Isn't that a novel idea? Dwayne, you've been awesome. Thank you so much. Get some damn sleep, dude.
You too, buddy.
Right, and we'll
hopefully we'll talk under the new term and keep this friendship going.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Enjoy the week and the celebration. We're coming back with audio cut of the day. I got Claire McCaskill crying on MSNBC. This will be glorious. Coming up. You know, there is a little sadness for me today, and I expressed this on the Facebook and the X, formerly Twitter. I may have seriously, legitimately lost a friend of 45 years today who took a shot on Twitter at me, which I was shocked by. I don't know why you can't just text me or call me and say I'm a Nazi. And I sent him a text, and I said, you take a shot at me on Twitter? That's effing ridiculous. And one of the responses I got, and I'm hoping that this is going to work itself out, but I'm a little hot about it right now. This is confusing because he said, congrats, by the way, I'm sure you'll get a lot of the things you want with full control, but don't bask in the pain of women. Come on. Women in Missouri still have the right to kill their babies after yesterday. What women's rights have been taken away in this country? They're delusional. And I wish my friend wasn't delusional, but he's delusional. And it's unfortunate. And it's kind of sad. I got more delusional for you here in Audio Cut of the Day.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I mean, I could just go with this one and wrap the show because it's so good, and maybe we'll do that. This says so much right now.
You voted against me. You voted against my right to live. You voted against all the women and their rights. I hope you enjoy your cheap gas.
That's pretty enjoyable. And then Claire McCaskill on MSNBC. I actually used to have a good relationship with her. We bonded over Black and Gold at Mizzou. She is an embarrassment.
You okay?
I think I'm okay.
Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of her. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get to where she was.
Okay, let's just stop it right there. Because this is a vice president who literally has one accomplishment on her resume, and that's Prop 47 in California, which was just thoroughly rejected by 70% of voters in California to say, you know what, Mr. Vice or Miss Vice President, Madam Vice President, and Governor Newsom, After all, we didn't think this through. We don't think it's a good idea that criminals are allowed to ransack stores and get away with it and not be punished. We thought about this for a few years, and you know, we're not down with that. 70% of the people. I was doing some shout-outs. I did a whole, you can go back, use the rewind section to about 3:30. I gave a bunch of shout-outs today post-election. Primarily my daughter, who left me a wonderful message when I woke up this morning saying that she loves me. But I'm going to give a little shout out here for the election results to Cori Bush here in St. Louis, because I've said this before a little bit in a joking way. She's the gift that keeps on giving. But Cori Bush did a lot here because she put defund the police right there square in the middle of the American people. And the American people said that's one of the dumbest things that we've ever heard. But it didn't stop Democrats from still running candidates who support that. We have Brandon Johnson in Chicago. We got Eric Adams in New York City, who's still afraid that he's going to be, you know, indicted by now Trump's Justice Department. Unbelievable. It was a great night. It was a great afternoon. I'm going to get some sleep. Enjoy your Wednesday. We'll be back here to do it all again at 3 o'clock.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.